John chapter 8, verse number 42. I'll preach on the subject of abortion, America's ongoing holocaust. Abortion, America's ongoing holocaust. John chapter number 8 and verse number 42. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to use the Bible, dear God, to discern this morning the truth from the lies. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, when everybody give me a good hearing, I feel like sometimes like John the Baptist. The Bible says he was a voice crying in the wilderness. It seems like there's so few voices that are standing up for truth. Thank God there are some. Thank God there are some. But you know what? If you listen to literally the tsunami of lies that are being swept across our culture, there has to be somewhere a voice of reason, a voice of truth. And we turn to the Bible to define and determine what truth is. One of the greatest things that you can learn to do in life is when somebody gives you their opinion or somebody states the way they believe about that, simply look at them and say, "Why don't you show me the Bible verse that backs that up? Why don't you show me where the Bible teaches that?" And if you begin to use the Bible as your basis for what you believe and what you do not believe, sadly, it's going to put you in this day and age in a minority. The Bible flies in the face of political correctness. Listen, stop worrying about being politically correct and start worrying about being scripturally correct. So wherever the Bible stands, that's where this preacher stands. Wherever the Bible stands, that's where every Christian is supposed to stand. And so we don't bend to the culture. We don't wet our finger and see which way the wind's blowing. We don't take polls and discern popular opinion. We believe as Christians what the King James Holy Bible teaches us about all things, including this matter of when life begins and what is acceptable for God and what is listed as an abomination before God. We're going to talk about the Bible and the abortion. You say, "Preacher, that's a little bit over the top. America's ongoing holocaust." Folks, listen to me. Do your reading. Read the history of Nazi Germany. Read the history of a crazy man by the name of Hitler. Talk to the World War II veterans that freed people in those concentration camps. The horror that they discovered. Folks, come on. Look at the pictures. Read it. Look at it. We call him a devil. We call him a crazy man, Hitler, because he put safe estimations of over 6 million people to death, took their bodies and incinerated most of them and burned their bodies. And we say he's a crazy man. Folks, that's 6 million. Since 1973, America has stood by and allowed 60 million of our own people to be killed and their lives taken in the safest places that they ought to be, and that's in the womb of their mother. And I've got to stand up and say, and let me just say this, I'm not without compassion. I never know in a crowd this size who's done what and maybe what thing that you wrestle with in your past. And I want you to know something. Preacher, if I could get in a time machine, and if I could hit a reset button, I'd do anything in the world to take a decision back, and it haunts me and it hurts me. I want you to know something. I'm your friend this morning. I'm not saying what I'm saying to hurt you in any way, but you've also got to understand that there's a lot of other people in this room, especially these young people, and they need to hear the truth about this. And so I promise you, you have my prayers and my pity, but you also, I think, would be one of the first ones that would support me and saying what I'm going to say to keep somebody else from the heartache that you've experienced in your life. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm going to say here. In John chapter 8, Jesus said in verse number 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." Now notice this, he was a murderer from the beginning. Why is that? Because he abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now let me teach you something about sin in general and murder specifically. Before somebody can commit a sin, they first must believe a lie. Let me say it again. Before somebody commits a sin, to justify the committing of that sin, they have to embrace or believe some lie about it. For instance, they may look at something that's sinful and say, well, I just don't believe it's sinful. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Well, if the Bible condemns it as sin, and you say it's not, you're embracing a lie, and that helps you to justify what you're doing. Some people know that it's wrong, but they embrace this lie. Well, I won't get caught. And that's the lie that they embrace so that they can commit the sin. By the way, I've had people sit in my office and give justification, try to justify some of the most ridiculous, wicked acts in all the world. You embrace and you're clinging to a lie because you want to commit a sin. But you know what? The Bible exposes all that. The Bible's like this bright spotlight, and you know what? When it shines, there's nowhere to hide. And what I'm saying is this, folks, how in the world, you know what, this still is almost beyond my mental comprehension. How in the world can so many Americans honestly, okay in their minds, and embrace the idea of killing unborn babies? Let me tell you why. Because the devil has given them some lies, and they've chosen to believe the lies instead of embracing the truth. Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to say, folks. 3,500 babies, unborn babies, every single day, their lives are taken in the United States of America. Over 60 million unborn babies since 1973. Now, folks, listen to me. How does that happen? How in the world can we justify that? The abortion issue is a battle, listen to me, between truth and lies. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between life and death. It's a battle between Christ, who is the truth, and Satan, who's not only a liar and the father of all lies, but a murderer. There are tears in the presence of God over every unborn child destroyed, and celebration in the presence of Satan over every unborn child destroyed before they have a chance to be born. Now, I'm going to expose some of the lies. And I'm going to give you Bible answers for the lies. I'm not going to try to convince you to believe what I believe because Jerry Ross believes it. I'm going to try to beg you to base the beliefs, the convictions of your life on the Word of God. And when the devil throws up a lie, it's amazing how you can take the Bible and throw up truth. And truth always is more powerful than the lie. There are lies that of Americans have been told. There are lies that people believe that have paved the way for this ongoing Holocaust, has paved the way for murder. It starts with believing lies. Lie number one, an unborn baby is not a human being, is not a person. Now the Bible has an answer to that. That's what people will want to convince you of. They don't want you to refer to the unborn baby or as a child. They come up with a term called fetus, and they want to use that instead of calling it a child or a baby. Now, look right up here, folks. It never ceases to amaze me. You take your one-day-year-old child, into a doctor's office, and you and that doctor conspire together to kill that child. You're both in jail. But you can show up a week before, or 2 weeks before, or 3 weeks before, and do the same thing, and you didn't kill a person. You're not a murderer. Okay, now if you want to believe the lies, then believe the lies. But that's a lie. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because the Bible gives us an answer. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we read in verse 4 and 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God viewed Jeremiah in his mother's womb before God had even begun the formation process, which means at conception, God viewed him as a person.
And God was in the process of forming him with his own hands into what he would have him to be, and that was to be a prophet to the nations. God looks at that which a mother carries as a person with a will, a person for that has a plan, that God has a plan for his life. Listen, God's own hands are busy forming every child in every womb of every mother. I think that's why abortion is such a wicked sin, because not only do you reach into where ought to be the safest of places in the womb of a mother and destroy a life, but you literally take a life out of the very hands of God and destroy that life and the potential of that life, all that God would have had that life to do and have that life to be. Life begins at conception. God is active in the formation of a baby in the womb. Sanctification happens before death. Did you see that? And I sanctified, before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Ordination happens before birth. God sanctifies, separates a person. He ordains them to complete something important in their life. Listen, God doesn't create anybody without a purpose. And so when you kill a child, you kill the purpose. Wonder what cancers would have been, maybe cures have been found. Wonder what else it has cost America. Wonder what things would have been invented and good that would have been done. I wonder the unrealized potential of 6 million Americans because somebody decided they're going to believe a lie. God not only is forming a child in his mother's womb, he has already ordained a plan for their life. Medical science also, the Bible exposes the lie, but medical science also exposes this lie. The heart is beating 14 to 18 days after conception. Brain waves are measurable as early as 6 weeks before fertilization. Most abortions are done at or after 9 weeks. RU486 chemical abortions cannot be done until week 6. An abortion stops a beating heart and destroys an active mind. Don't believe the lie that an unborn baby is not a human being and not a person. It is. Lie number 2. Every woman has a right to choose to abort her baby since the baby is in her body. You will even see them. Sometimes the extreme liberal feminists make statements like, keep your hands off my body. Keep your hands off my womb. You have no right as a man especially to even have an opinion about this, as if we are invading their privacy and preventing them from having control over their body. Now, listen, folks, this thinking is the result of the loss of what the Bible calls natural affection. 2 Timothy chapter 3 lists the last day sins. This know also that in the last day, days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Sin number 1, lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. What is that natural affection talking about, preacher? Watch this. This term natural affection is talking about maternal affection. Listen to me, folks. Good night, you mothers that have carried children before you ever saw them. You love them. Before you saw them, you loved them. And you know what? We are living in an age that because the primary prevalent sin of our generation is that men have become lovers of their own selves. They love themselves more than they love anybody. Mothers in this day and age, some mothers love themselves more than they love an unborn child. God help us. Every woman has a right, here's the lie, to choose to abort her baby since the baby is in her body. Well, ma'am, excuse me, but when you go in and you have this procedure done, you are not killing a part of your body. You are killing an unborn child. You are ending the life of someone else. What about the rights of them and their body? Now, folks, that's not even logical, but it makes for good posters and bumper stickers. And you know what? It quiets some men. I'm not quiet about this. This thinking is the result of the loss of natural affection. This thinking is the result of extreme selfishness. Someone else's death is better than me being inconvenienced. Someone else's death is better than me being inconvenienced. Why do women have an abortion? Here's what the statistics say. They're unready for the responsibility of 21%. Well, guess what? Then you're unready for the process that leads to the responsibility. You don't just get to say, well, I'm just not ready for this. Well, you were ready for some other stuff. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Whether you're ready or not, here it comes. You better take that into account. And, well, I'm just not ready. I can't afford the baby. Well, guess what? You got to figure out a way to do that. Okay? Well, here's the third excuse, 16%. The baby would change my life. Any mothers want to testify that that is definitely true? Hey, man, your life is about to change. Yes, it is. It's about to change. By the way, watch this. It's about to change for the better. It's about to change for the better. Good night. Others use relationship issues. You know, let me tell you what that means. The guy that got me pregnant doesn't want it. That's what it is. They feel too immature. Well, then you're too immature for the process. Okay, has enough children. Find that in the Bible. Can somebody open the Bible and show me what the maximum number is? Where God says, after this, I can show you where the Bible says, happy the man whose his quiver is full. Well, what are you talking about? And then other reasons, 5%. You know what I read? Selfishness, 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 selfishness. Every woman has a right to choose to abort her baby since the baby is in her body. This thinking is the result of loss of natural affection, unbiblical thinking. It's a result of extreme selfishness. This thinking is the result of the desire to have, listen, sin without consequence. The place to take care of the sin is at the throne of grace, folks. Abortion does not erase the consequences of your sin. It increases the consequences of your sin. Lie number three, here it is. It is better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, poor, or into a potentially abusive situation. This is the logic that's being given, alright? Let's answer some logic with logic. The fact that people say that and it's unchallenged just makes me crazy. It's better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, poor, or into a potentially abusive situation. Now stop, you don't get to just run through that list. We're going to talk about it. It's better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted. Listen to me. If you don't want that baby is not unwanted. There are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of parents all across this country, some of them having to get on a plane and go to a third world country. They're that desperate because they want a child. If you don't want it, I can hook you up with good people, and you know what? We'll find a place for that baby. To say that that child is unwanted is a lie. Somebody wants that child. Somebody wants that child. It's better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted or poor. Now folks, stop it. What? How many of you were raised poor? Look right up here. I don't feel sorry for you a bit. And I don't think anybody with their hands up feels sorry for themselves. Listen, the curse of America, you put your hands down, the curse of America is not being raised in a poor home. The curse of America is being raised in a home where you have too much. That's the curse of America. Some of the best people that's ever grown up. Hey, Abraham Lincoln was born into a poor home. Some of the greatest people that's accomplished the greatest things were born into poor homes. The problem isn't, folks, poverty. And listen to me. Watch this. Well, I'm afraid the baby might end up poor. Do we decide that we're going to end poverty by killing poor children? Say, what are you doing, preacher? I'm not letting them get by with a lie. You want to rattle that off? And everybody goes, yeah, that's right, you know. It's better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, poor, into a potentially abusive situation. Wait. Sorry, you don't get to just run that by. Let's look at it. No baby's unwanted. By the way, it's not a curse to be born into a poor home. In a lot of ways, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Man, they might have to grow up and actually work. They might grow up with an appreciation of everything that they do one day get. Are you listening to me? All right. How about this? This lack. Oh, but preacher,
The last one, okay, here's the last one. It's better to abort a baby than to see it born into a potentially abusive situation. Now listen to this, folks. Potential abuse. So the cure for potential abuse is premature death of the potential victim. What's happening? Big, bright spotlight of truth is shining right now. Well, they might potentially be a victim. Oh, so we'll save them from that by making them the victim of a murder. Think about that. Listen, folks, I hate abuse. I understand it's out there, but we should prosecute the abusers, not kill the victims. Besides, if you listen to this last statement, besides that, abortion is the ultimate child abuse. It's better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, poor, or to a potentially abusive situation. Folks, stop letting people ramble this stuff off and start challenging it. Listen, we're not going to turn this thing around by the only one that has the courage to say anything is the pulpit and the preacher in your church. You need to learn to speak up in the workplace and speak up in your family and stop bobbleheading stop bobbleheading lies, out and out lies of the devil. Lie number four, abortion should be legal because women were dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in back alley, non-regulated facilities. Remember the coat hangers that they all carried around when they were trying to get abortion legalized? So here's the mentality. We've got to legalize abortion because some women are dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in back alley, non-regulated facilities. Now listen to it. I'm going to give you some statistics. Here comes the bright light of truth again. Before 1973, it was illegal to kill an unborn baby. Please listen to what I just said. It should have been. It needed to be. You know why? Because it's murder. That's why it's illegal. It's murder. So before 1973, it was illegal to kill an unborn baby. So in 1972, the year before it became legal, in the entire year of 1972, 39 women died from illegal abortions. 39 women died from illegal abortions. How does that warrant the death of almost 60 million unborn babies since 1973? The preacher, don't you have compassion for 39? You don't save 39 people who, watch this, why did these women's death occur? It occurred because they were involved in criminal activity. It occurred because they were involved in criminal activity. So a mother or other relative was seeking an illegal abortion. A doctor or an abortionist performed the illegal abortion. Both were acts, criminal acts. As a result of being involved in criminal activity, 39 women died. So let's legalize the onslaught and the murder of unborn babies because we should feel sorry for criminals who died in the act. See, preacher, this isn't popular. This isn't politically correct to say. It is the truth. Boom! Here's the light of truth. Boom! It's the light of truth. Unbelievable. But America fell for the lie. They march. They hold up coat hangers. They tell the horror stories, and some relatives on TV say, oh, well, these poor women, all because they just wanted to kill their baby, so they ended up dying because they were trying to kill their baby, so we need to kill all the babies so that they don't die. America fell for this lie. You know why? Because America's gotten away from this book. We don't think biblically. We react emotionally. Emotionally to issues. We don't think, we don't react scripturally to them. We don't react intelligently to them. But we always react emotionally to everything. We make don't make decisions in your life based on emotion. Make it based on truth. So America fell for the lie. We were told the way to stop back alley casualties was to decriminalize the activity. We should never have decriminalized the killing of unborn children. Say, preacher, but the Supreme Court ruled. The Supreme Court's been wrong on quite a few things. Excuse me very much. They were wrong when they took the Bible out of school. They were wrong when they took prayer out of school. They were wrong when they said you could kill unborn babies. They were just recently, horribly, wickedly wrong when they said it was okay for the gays to marry. It's because the Supreme Court, and listen folks, the Supreme Court's full of activist judgments. Aren't interested in the Constitution of the United States, but of advancing liberal agendas. That's what we've got right now. But you know what? The Bible hasn't changed a bit. Truth is still true. So, abortion should be legal because women were dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in back alley, non-regulated facility, criminal activity. It's like trying to convince me to feel sorry for somebody that got killed because they were trying to rob a bank. It's a crime. It's against the law. You don't kill your unborn child. It's not unwanted. It's okay if it's raised in a poor house. You don't worry about being a potential victim by making them a sure victim. Stop believing the lies. Stop believing the lies. Lie number five. Abortion should be an option for those carrying a baby. Please listen to what I'm going to say next. Abortion should be an option for those carrying a baby that is potentially disabled, deformed, or sick, or in cases that the woman's life is endangered, or in case of rape or incest. I'm going to be very careful because I know we have young people here, but you need to hear what this preacher is going to say. You go talk to Mom and Dad Whittington about the blessing of God placing in their home a handicapped child. I said the blessing of God placing in their home a handicapped child. Some of you know this, some of you don't. My wife had a little brother for 28 years. I think it's 28 years old. For 28 years, he never took a step without assistance, never spoke a word, but spoke volumes. And he was the joy and the delight of the Whittington family. Spent his life in a wheelchair. Todd had a great personality. He enjoyed church more than anybody I've ever watched in my life enjoy church. Loved the singing. He wanted to lead the song with the song leader. He gets so excited, he'd almost flip his wheelchair over sometime. Let me tell you one of the reasons that my wife has an almost supernatural level of compassion and care for hurting people. Because God gifted her family a handicapped child. And she got to help care for him. Let me just throw something out, and I'm not mad at you if you've said it, but you need to stop saying it. Is it going to be a boy or a girl? Well, it doesn't matter as long as it's... I'm all for. I pray along with you that God gives you a normal, healthy child, but stop treating an unhealthy, abnormal child as if it is something that should be unwanted. You listen to me, folks. You look around Blessed Old Baptist Church. Some of the best people and some of the biggest blessings that come in our door are adults and children and teenagers that if the liberals had their way would have never been born. That's God's choices. That's God's choices. You say, well, wait a minute. What if this pregnancy has potential danger? I mean, this pregnancy could endanger the life of my wife. I don't know. Ask her. I've never met a mother, a real mother, wouldn't die for their child. Again, we're talking about potential things. Potential things. You know how many people in this room were in high-risk pregnancies? You know how many of our ladies have been involved in high-risk pregnancies? You know what they did? They said, God allowed this child to be conceived. And God give us this child. And we're going to put it in the hands of God. And we're going to trust the Lord. And you know what? We have never had God do anything in this church except show grace and mercy. We've had children that were wrongly diagnosed in the womb with serious problems where doctors were encouraging them in the early stages of pregnancy. There's something wrong with your child, something extremely wrong with your child. You need to consider abortion. And Christian parents, saying what Christian parents, whatever the Lord's given us, we're going to be thankful for. And you know what? You'd be shocked at how many times that ended up just being a lie or a misdiagnosis.
I pray to God for that doctor's sake, that's all it was. I'm sorry, I'm not a conspiracy nut, but I'm wondering a little bit. Thank God for Christian parents, or whatever God gives us. It's in His mind. Folks, did God's hands not form these children? So you're going to look at the Maker and throw an accusation to Him that He did something wrong. You know, the greatest blessings in any church or any family are handicapped children. Sometimes they're mentally handicapped. Sometimes they're physically handicapped. Let me tell you something. They're a blessing to this church. They have every right to live their life as well as any of us that we consider normal. How about that? Say, preacher, you're getting to the hard one. Yeah, I'm going to tackle it straight on too. Special needs children are a blessing to enjoy, not a reason to kill. Women facing high-risk pregnancies should receive optimum care and take every precaution, but she should also trust the Lord to care for both herself and her baby. A mother's heart is a heart that protects her child at any cost, not one that kills her child because of potential risk to herself. It's called natural affection. It's a lie of the devil. How about this? Sexual assault, by the way, my goodness sakes. You're not talking to somebody. Listen to me. Look right up here. Most of you never live in the arena that a pastor lives. I've dealt with these situations. Me and my wife have been there to catch the tears. Sexual assault is a horrible crime. A horrible crime. The perpetrator of such a crime should be punished to the full extent of the law. You want to pass a bill where rape is a capital punishment? I'll vote for it. You want to pass a bill where abusing these precious young ladies, somebody takes advantage of one of these precious young ladies, I'll vote for it. You want to make that a capital crime? I'll vote for it. By the way, so would Jesus. He talked about something that had to do with a boat and a millstone and a short rope. If you touch one of these little, cause one of these little ones to stumble, to fall. Now, what I'm saying is this. I'm not in any way justifying the act. But the victim of that crime, by the way, and I want you to remember this, I want to say it right. The perpetrator of such a crime should be punished to the full extent of the law. The victim of that crime is just that, a victim. And people, we better start remembering that. They're a victim. To encourage the victim of the assault to then victimize the child that she carries will not remove the trauma. It will compound the trauma. A woman now has to deal with the emotional ramifications of the initial assault as well as the lifelong guilt she will endure by destroying her child. Say, preacher, but that's hard. That's horrific. All I know is God's in your womb forming a baby. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? By the way, get on the internet. I literally almost played one this morning. James Dobson did an entire series where he interviewed children that were born as a result of some type of a sexual assault. But a Christian mother who said, you know what? I've got a baby. And God's got a plan for their life. And in an entire week where he interviewed people that were a product of that. By the way, I am not in any way, and I think I've been very clear about this, but I'm going to be clear again. I am in no way. I mean, like I said, get the boat, get the millstone, get the rope. I can push him over and I can sleep that night. You say, you're hard. Well, I'm hard then. I have no problem. I have no pity on them. But I do have pity on an unborn baby. Okay? Think about those things. Say, preacher, that stuff, just take it home and mull on it. Ask God to help you with it. Say, preacher, what does the Bible state about abortion? You've exposed the lies, but what's the truth? Here it is. Satan is the driving force between the death of innocent children. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour the child as soon as it was born. Folks, listen to me. Satanism and the occult has always been connected to child sacrifice and child death. Always. Herod and the killing of the young children was satanically driven. Pharaoh and his decree, Pharaoh, a pagan leader of a pagan country with a pagan religion, steeped in the occult, study it out, Egyptian religion. You know what? He was for the killing of the Israeli children. If it's a male, you take them down and you throw them in the river. Israeli midwives who defied the decree of this heathen king were blessed by God, and God gave them their own house. Molech caused the children to pass through the fire, folks. Understand what that phrase means when we're talking about Old Testament. We're talking about taking their children, their babies, and throwing them into a fire and sacrificing to Molech, which is a form or a type of a satanic being, a satanic god. What I'm saying is this, folks. Satan is the driving force behind the death of innocent children. Jesus tells the truth. The devil tells the lie. He's a murderer from the beginning, and he's trying to get you to believe the lie so you'll join him in the murder. What does the Bible say about abortion? What's the truth? Number one, Satan is the driving force behind the death of innocent children. Number two, the shedding of innocent blood is an abomination before God. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, these six things that the Lord hates, and seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. What's the truth, preacher? Innocent blood cries out to God for justice. Genesis chapter 4, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what? This is God saying, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. By the way, read the book of Revelation. You know what they're crying? How long, O Lord? How long? They're crying for justice. Ever heard a baby cry? I mean, cry when you know mama's, that cry that makes you bolt from your chair, that cry that a mother knows is unnatural, that cry that you know something's drastically wrong. Can you imagine what God hears every single day? He hears the blood of 60 million babies in America cry up to heaven for justice. How long, O God? How long, O God? Say, preacher, if God ends up judging America, are you going to be surprised? I am shocked. I am shocked that God has not already brought America to his knees. I thought, you know, 9/11, as horrific as that was, I thought surely America will understand it's a wake-up call. And for a while, by the way, the churches filled up for a few months after that happened. But it didn't take long and it wore off. Well, but what's God going to have to do to get our attention? What's He going to have to do? What's He going to have to do? 60 million victims. The blood of 60 million unborn babies crying up to God. I mean, folks, you know what? You know what? I wish I could go into Congress. I wish I could go to the House of Representatives and the Senate House. I wish I could walk to the platform and say, okay, Lord, for 10 seconds, just let us hear what you hear. And make those... I'd like to go to the Supreme Court and say to those judges, for 10 seconds, you need to hear what God's hearing. You know what? We ought to be amazed at the mercy and long-suffering of God upon our country. Abortion, what's the truth, preacher? Abortion desensitizes our nations towards the value of all human life. If we will justify the death of the unborn, we start down a road that leads us to the rationalization of the shedding of any and all innocent blood. And it's happening. Folks, I'm not telling you what I think. I'm not telling you what I read in somebody. Listen, I'm telling you what I know. Big giant Obamacare. There are people, Christian people right now, facing horrific health situations where there is a way to cure and to help them. And you know what? No, 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 no. I want to call names right now. I've done funerals of people that I know for a fact. Talked to Charles English. I was talking to him the other day. He went to see a doctor. How old is Brother Charles? 83 years old. And the doctor's, he's talking to the doctor about some health things and some things he needs help with. And the doctor finally just kind of looks at him and says, well, I mean, how long do you want to live anyway? I mean, this is a doctor. This is where you go almost like, bro, I mean, you're old, you're 83. And Brother Charles looked at me when he's telling me this and said, I wonder how he's going to feel one of these days when he's 83. By the way, you know one of the reasons it's kind of quiet in here? Because some of you have already been falling for that. You are already rationalizing the idea of, well, man, they're old. Why don't they just die? Do you know why you have those thoughts? Because you've been desensitized. Because if you'll accept the murder of an unborn child, you'll accept the death of almost, and the unwarranted death and shedding of almost any innocent blood. I said innocent blood. That's what the Bible condemns, the shedding of innocent blood. Don't come to me after the service want to bring up your capital punishment issue. I've got plenty of Bible verses for that also. Abortion desensitizes our nation towards the value of all human life. God will eventually bring judgment upon a nation that allows the shedding of innocent blood. 2 Kings chapter 24, the first four verses. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up and Jericho, because his servant became his servant 3 years, and he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the Ammon, the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant the prophet. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of my sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Which the Lord would not pardon. Which the Lord would not pardon. That ought to scare America to death. Psalms 106, and they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. And yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the blood and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a whoring after their own inventions. Therefore also the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people. We're talking about his chosen people, Israel. If he'll do it to Israel, he'll do it to us. In so much that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Come on, America, I'm reading our future. And their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their own hand. And folks, that is not going to happen. That is already currently happening right now. Say, preacher, we got a couple minutes left. What can we do? Pray to end abortion. Pray to end abortion. I think everything, every plan ought to start with prayer. Pray to end abortion. Look right up here, Christian. Vote to end abortion. Vote to end abortion. It's about time we stop voting our pocketbook and start voting our Christian values. There's no way in the world, I would ever knowingly cast a vote for anyone to end up in office that had it in their mind and in their head that killing unborn babies was. Listen, if they have accepted that lie, they'll accept any lie. If they have been so desensitized in that area, I want them dictating the future of my country. You better find out. We got an election coming. You better find out. What else can we do? Pray to end abortion? Vote to end abortion? How about this? Evangelize our nation? Folks, listen to me. You know what the cure to a lot of this is? And I'm going to preach on it tonight. The cure for a lot of this is Christians getting off their blessed assurance and obeying the Great Commission, going to all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Because you know what? When somebody gets saved and accepts the gospel and gets into good Bible preaching church, a lot of the lies of the devil are then exposed and they are turned from lies to truth. It only happens when people get saved and get in church. And then we need to educate our nation. And I'm challenging you. Yeah, well, I know it's a sensitive subject, and I think there's some things I just should be quiet about. You've been quiet. How's it going? Let me tell you, you've been quiet. Okay, you've been quiet. I got it. 3,500 today. Well, preacher, you're a rebel rouser. I mean, you got crosses in the front of your church and big signs. All right, how's your quiet working? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to cause problems. Okay. Meanwhile, quietly, 3,500 babies died today. It's time we start speaking up. I think it'd be good for Christians to start actually getting their pen and paper out and writing some letters to the editor. I think it's time when this subject comes up in the workplace or in your extended family, it's about time Christians start speaking up a little bit. You know what's happening? The truth has gotten quiet and the lies are being shouted from the housetops. I think the truth should be shouted from the housetops and the lies ought to be quiet too. And so, this is what we're doing. If you didn't notice, if you look out the yard there in our church on New Year's Day, and we've done this for several years now, a good portion of our congregation showed up and we set 1,000 crosses on our front yard of our church property. Listen to me, church. Every single cross represents 60,000 babies. I'll tell you what, I get emotional thinking about it. I'm out there handling a cross. We get emotional thinking about it. It's just a wooden cross we're sticking in the ground. 60,000 unborn babies who were put to death in the United States of America. Help us. Help us. Say, preacher, some people are offended. I know. A lot of people are excited, by the way. You know, a lot of people beeping their horns and giving us the thumbs up and you know what? They're glad somebody's finally saying something. Preacher, we can't win this. Stop there a minute. You know what? There's some fights worth fighting whether you win or not. What do you mean we can't win it? God, all things are possible. Can't win it if everybody sits still and gets quiet and won't do anything. Can't win it. I mean, evil triumphs when good men stand idly by. That's why we can't win it. 60,000. We're having for a month. January 22nd is the anniversary of one of the darkest days in United States history, Roe versus Wade, 1973, January 22nd. January 22nd, we want to declare that day here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church a day of prayer and fasting and repentance. I'm going to ask as many people as can, and this is our church, these people in the community, these people from other churches, I don't care who comes, but in the entire day on January 22nd, I don't care if it's snowing, icing, sleeting. You know what God needs to see? Some Christians that are willing to show up and get on their knees. You mean outside in public? Yeah, outside in public. Kind of like they did in Old Testament times when they got serious about repentance. Wouldn't hurt if a little sackcloth and ashes showed up. Come on, let that settle into you, mossy back Baptist. A little sackcloth and ashes. You know, how serious are we going to get about this? A little weeping. Confessing our sins. Confessing the sins of our fathers. Confessing the sins of our nation. I mean, what's holding back the judgment of God? I believe the only thing that's holding it back is at least a remnant of people that are trying to show God, we're not all for this, God. We're sorry. We're grieved. We're horrified by what's going on. And to begin to beg God to do something. Mark it on your calendars, January 22nd. Church will be open all day. If you want to pray inside, I understand some of our older folks can't be out there. I'm going to be out there. Okay, I'm going to take part of the day and be out there. I think everybody ought to take part of the day and be out there. Amen. That's good. Good for us. Let's pray to God. Lord Jesus, help us. Well, my heart's been broken for a week. As this day's gotten closer and closer, the burden of this, dear God, the shame of it, forgive us. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd once again help us to have a revival of common sense, a revival of decency, a revival of morality in our nation. God, we need our nation to turn to repentance over this issue. We need Christians to change their mind about it. Some people that claim to be born again that's bought into the lies of it. Lord, I pray that you smite our hearts and convict us, dear God. Help us to see this as you see it and feel about it as you feel about it. And thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. It helps us to know the truth when it seems like so many lies. So many lies are being told. We pray, dear God, that this abortion awareness project and these white crosses would influence somebody. Lord, a handful of lives that would have been stuffed out. Maybe some mother will give pause. Maybe some mother will listen to that spark of natural affection. Maybe some mother, whether she's Christian or not, will listen to the conscience that her Creator put within her. Listen to truth instead of buying into a lie. Pray, dear God, for the saving of the unborn. We pray these things in Jesus' name.